The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Congress is considering rerouting unused COVID-19 aid that was meant for small businesses.
There's some money essentially still in the government's bank account that hasn't been spent. Now, small businesses, particularly very vocal ones in the music industry, say, hey, that money was supposed to go to help small music venues. It should go to that purpose.
How lawmakers are debating the best use of pandemic funds. And a federal judge tosses out the Biden administration's mask mandate for public transit. Plus, would you like fries with that? Why more people are saying yes to comfort foods. It's Monday, April 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russian forces have launched their anticipated offensive in eastern Ukraine. Speaking in a late-night address, Zelensky said the battle for Donbas has begun. Earlier today, at least 7 people were killed and 11 others injured following Russian missile strikes in the western city of Lviv. The Pentagon today said it views those strikes as so-called shaping operations aimed at curtailing Ukraine's ability to resupply its forces. Russia said its air-based missiles hit 16 targets in Ukraine, but didn't mention Lviv among them. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin said during a meeting with government ministers today that Western sanctions have failed to undermine Russia's economy. He did, however, acknowledge the impact of inflation, which hit an annual rate of 17.5% there earlier this month. Economists are predicting that Russia will fall into a recession. Even though Russia's currency, the ruble, has stabilized, both trade and industrial output have fallen. A federal judge in Florida has struck down the Biden administration's mask mandate for public transportation, saying it exceeds the authority of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The Biden administration recently extended the mandate for planes, trains, taxis, buses, and other forms of public transit through May 3rd. It had been set to expire today. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about the ruling at a press conference this afternoon.
This is obviously a disappointing decision. The CDC continues recommending wearing a mask in public transit. As you know, this just came out this afternoon. So right now, the Department of Homeland Security, who would be implementing, and the CDC are reviewing the decision. And of course, the Department of Justice would make any determinations about litigation.
Bank of America says its first quarter profit fell 12%, its first quarterly decline since 2020. Results from the nation's second-largest bank were in line with many of the country's other big banks. J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley all reported lower first-quarter earnings last week amid a slowdown in Wall Street deal-making. Johnson & Johnson says it'll pay $99 million to settle a lawsuit in West Virginia that alleged the company helped fuel the state's opioid crisis. The deal removes J&J from the state's trial against other drug makers that began this month. The amount is more than double what J&J offered to pay the state in February as part of a nationwide opioid settlement. The company says the settlement is not an admission of wrongdoing and that its marketing and promotion of prescription opioids were appropriate and responsible. And a federal investigation into baby formulas and some serious bacterial infections in infants is growing more complicated. Last year, federal officials received complaints that 4 babies had been hospitalized with rare infections after being fed powdered baby formula made in an Abbott Laboratories plant in Michigan. 2 of the babies later died. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention analyzed the genetic makeup of bacteria found in the plant and from 2 of the infected babies, but wasn't able to confirm a connection. Government officials and food safety experts say that could make it difficult to prove or disprove a definitive link. The Food and Drug Administration says the investigation is ongoing. Coming up, there's a fight brewing over what to do with unused pandemic aid for small businesses. We'll explain what's at stake after the break.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.
Small businesses were hit especially hard during the height of the pandemic, and federal programs to provide aid were created to help see them through the worst of it. Now, more than 2 years into the pandemic, lawmakers are again split on how to fund the federal government's pandemic health response. One proposal could mean redirecting billions of dollars of unused aid from some of those small business programs. So, what does this mean for small businesses? And what challenges are they still facing? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal Economic Policy News Editor Eric Morath. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me again.
So, Eric, can you start by explaining where Congress is right now in terms of COVID-19 aid? What's under consideration at the moment?
The Biden administration asked for more than $20 billion in additional funding for a COVID health response. So we're talking about vaccines and therapeutics and sort of the nuts and bolts of caring for people who might get infected with COVID or to prevent them from getting infected with COVID. When they brought that, though, to Congress, Republicans who would likely need to sign off on this balked at that and said they didn't want any additional spending, citing concerns over inflation and the rising national debt. So, you know, they're trying to come to a compromise here. And to do that, they're looking at taking money that was unspent in previous COVID aid packages that wasn't directly for the health response and directing it towards that.
So what programs exactly would this impact?
The White House requested more than $20 billion in aid for the health response, but the Republicans led by Senator Romney have come up with about $10 billion they see in unspent money from previous pandemic aid bills. About $5 billion of that is from three specific small business programs. And one of them is still an active program, called the State Small Business Program, which was to fund venture capital and private loans to small businesses. And the administration was really highlighting this because it was supposed to reach some of the communities and businesses, including those owned by racial minorities, veterans, and rural communities that were passed over in some of the previous programs. And that's still an active and ongoing program. And then the other rest of this money was coming from two programs that have been completed and have been closed to loan applications. One was for longer-term loans, and the other one was specifically towards shuttered venues. So music venues, other live performance spaces that were affected by the pandemic could apply for those loans. And in both of those cases, there's some money left over that hasn't been spent.
So why hasn't that money been spent? Why did these funds go unused?
The active program, that's something that, you know, still ongoing. That one was approved in March 2021. So it's still been a while, but it wasn't one of the first, you know, 2020 programs that was out there. And the Treasury was, you know, taking their time a little bit to tailor that to make sure it reached some of these communities that hadn't received some earlier aid. The other two programs, it's kind of sometimes what happens with big aid programs that there's a, you know, we're talking about a couple billion dollars, right? Which is, you know, a ton of money, but also not most of the money in these programs. Most of this money was spent, and there's some money essentially still in the government's bank account that hasn't been spent. Now, small businesses, particularly very vocal ones in the music industry, say, hey, that money was supposed to go to help small music venues. It should go to that purpose. So if you didn't spend it or someone ended up not qualifying for it and you didn't disperse the money, open it up again and let us apply again. We have people that you can help. Whereas obviously others in Congress are taking the view of, well, you know, we put that out there. Things are a lot better. A lot of these venues have been able to reopen again. And now we have a different purpose for the money and we'll go spend it on a health response.
Eric, we're more than 2 years into the pandemic. Broadly speaking, how are small businesses doing right now? What are the challenges they continue to face?
So small businesses, I think at this point, are kind of facing sort of the secondary effects of the pandemic and the related economic challenges that that's caused. It's not so much that people maybe aren't willing to dine out at a restaurant or maybe go to a small music venue. We've seen, you know, restaurant spending, for example, now surpasses pre-pandemic levels. But it's that inflation is a huge challenge for them, whether we're talking about food prices or energy prices or any of the other things you need to run your small business. You know, small businesses have less buying power than their competitors that might be, you know, multinational companies. And so they're more impacted by inflation. And another big challenge is labor shortages. You know, small businesses are competing with even, you know, fast food restaurants and coffee shop chains that can offer things like college tuition or sign-on bonuses. That's a lot harder for, you know, a business that has one or two locations to offer those same types of things. And when the labor market is as tight as it is, that might mean, you know, you can't hire that server, that cashier to keep your small business operating at maximum capacity. So they're really facing those challenges. And that we've seen that in the surveys. The small business optimism is now at a level last seen during April 2020, like the depths of the pandemic. And so we're really seeing that small businesses maybe have more severe challenges than larger companies that have some ability to adjust.
So what happens next on the federal level? What should we expect? And what are you hearing from small businesses who are looking to fight this on Capitol Hill?
You know, small businesses have certainly a lot of friends in Congress. So that's why we're really curious to see how this plays out. Congress will be back next week. The White House is emphasizing they see a real urgent need, right? We're starting to see rising case levels, and they want to make sure that we're in a position that vaccines and other types of treatments can be paid for. So there's some urgency there. Yet at the same time, certainly know that small businesses have been effective in the past and throughout the pandemic at making sure the aid flowed in their direction. So we're going to definitely be watching this closely in the next week or two.
That's Wall Street Journal Economic Policy News Editor Eric Morath. Eric, thanks so much for your time today.
Sure. Happy to join you.
And finally, Americans have always had a soft spot for fried foods. French fries, fried chicken, and cheese curds. But nowadays, that obsession is deepening. The number of fried foods on restaurant menus in the U.S. rose 5% in the first three quarters of last year, according to market research service Mintel Menu Insights. And at least 10 major U.S. fast food chains, including McDonald's, Shake Shack, and Jack in the Box, have introduced fried chicken sandwiches to their menus in the past 2 years. Nutritionists say disruptions from the pandemic have people hankering for some crispy comfort foods. Our food reporter Annie Gasparo says restaurants are eager to satisfy customers' every indulgent craving.
They saw sales go down when everyone was sheltering at home. And every time there's a surge of a new variant of COVID, their sales go down. And so if they're thinking, you know, what can I do to bring people to my restaurant, bring people through the drive-thru, have people order takeout, people don't just want foods that make them feel better. They also want to buy something that they can't make at home. And people don't typically have deep fryers in their kitchens. So this gives them an option to get something they couldn't make for themselves.
But the deep fried surge isn't boosting business everywhere. WW International, formerly known as Weight Watchers, says online searches for diet programs were down 20% in January from a year ago. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli from The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.